It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The 2020 presidential campaign has begun, and since the inception of the modern primary system, there have never been as many Democratic candidates in the field.
That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
To announce my candidacy for President of the United States.
I'm running for President of the United States of America.
I am a candidate for President of the United States of America.
Well, I'm going to run for President of the United States.
I am a candidate for President of the United States of America.
At last count, it was 22, but the day is yet young. Why are Democrats entering in droves? Is this reminiscent of what happened in the Wisconsin gubernatorial race last year? We thought it best to pose these questions to Howard Schwaber. He's a political science and legal studies professor at the UW-Madison. Howard, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, happy to be here.
So how usual or unusual is it to see such a high number of Democratic candidates running in this presidential election?
Oh, it's extremely unusual, particularly this early. I can't think of a year. There have been lots of years which either on the Republican side or the Democratic side, there have been a large number of candidates. But I can't recall ever seeing anything like this.
All right. So what is going on? Why are so many candidates getting into this race?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is no one thought it was possible early on that Donald Trump would ever become president. And among various other messages that his victory has sent, one of them is, good Lord, if this guy can win, maybe anybody can win. But beyond that, I think the important thing is that the Democratic Party doesn't have a unified identity at the moment. There are at least three different basic kind of mindsets. One is adversarial, run for president just to run against Donald Trump and everything that he stands for and to undo his effects. The second might be called aspirational. If our candidate couldn't beat Donald Trump, and we didn't, you know, there hasn't been quite the massive blue wave we hoped for, maybe it's because our party is too stodgy and too establishment, and what's needed is bold visions. And a lot of the candidates running are running on bold visions. The press describes this as a move to the left. I think of it more in terms of a move toward large-scale programs, large-scale government action. In some cases, describing this as a move to the left is not really accurate. And the third message, which I think Joe Biden is the obvious example, is kind of a message of restoration, bringing things back to normal. It's nostalgic. It's, you know, let's make the last few years go away, and go back to the nicer way things were a few years ago.
What about money? There's a lot more money and donors involved in presidential elections. How does fundraising play a role in who runs and who doesn't?
Well, it's enormously important, obviously. One thing that has changed is that it's much easier to contribute both anonymously. I mean, due to various court opinions and FEC rulings, it's very easy to donate money anonymously. It's very easy to donate money to elude any limits that might be applicable. So the money is flowing very, very, very freely. It's also the case that the donor base has the same reactions as these candidates. Something has gone terribly wrong, but there is no agreement as to what the response is. And so different donors are funneling money in different directions as a result. And the third thing is that the electorate is just really very mobilized, and both large donations and small donations are coming in very large amounts. There's already a lot of money in play compared to previous election cycles. So that's just a sign of a very high level of energy and engagement.
We're talking about record number of Democrats on the presidential campaign trail and what to make of it with Howard Schwaber. He's a professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison. You can join in 800-642-1234. What do you make of the Democratic field? Is the party net cast too wide, or do you like seeing so many options? You can call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Howard, can you draw any parallels here to the record number of Democratic gubernatorial candidates that we saw run in Wisconsin's partisan primaries last year?
Oh, I think you can. I mean, I think, once again, Wisconsin is a bit of a microcosm for the country at large. And I mean that in a couple of ways. First of all, in the way we've been talking about, there's a strong sense in Wisconsin among Democrats and liberal-leaning voters, oh my gosh, Governor Walker is awful, Act 10 was awful, various things that have happened is awful. Why is it we have not been able to retake control of all the branches of government? And of course, there are various answers to that question, but in the public mind, at least one of the answers is it must be that we're not doing it right. And so that opens the door for lots of candidates to offer their solutions to whether the Democratic Party should be more adversarial or more aspirational, you know, or more restorative, to use the terms I mentioned earlier. That's part of it. It's also the case, and we saw this especially in the last Supreme Court election, that conservative voters are very mobilized. Democratic energy once again failed to translate into turnout in this very critical judicial election. And there's a reason for that. And one reason for that is that on the conservative side, courts and cultural issues are absolutely central and extraordinarily salient. I always come back to one piece of data, which is that in 2016, among Trump voters, 25% of Trump voters said that retaking control of the courts was the number one reason for their decision on which candidate to vote for. On the Democratic side, among Clinton voters, that issue didn't break into the top five. And we saw that in the election here, the state Supreme Court election again, which was extraordinarily important for the future of the state. In the context of the Gorsuch and Kavanaugh nominations, you might have thought would have been a highly mobilizing issue. There were all sorts of reasons to expect massive Democratic turnout, and it didn't work. Even with a conservative candidate who takes very strong and controversial positions against LGBTQ equality, nonetheless, that didn't mobilize voters. And that feeds the perception that the Democratic Party is simply not being very effective.
Howard, let's pause right here and take Jeremy in Racine. Jeremy, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So you got the former VP Biden jumping into the race. He seems to be the last one to throw his hat in. And it kind of makes a person who watches this stuff closely think, are we having a repeat here from the 2016 election with Hillary and the superdelegates pretty much already that was in her pocket is going to be jumping into Biden's pocket. He's polled number one so far next to above Sanders. So it's just fascinating. It almost seems like it's a repeat of the 2016 election and how that's going to play out with the younger voters of the Democrat Party looking at this as like, you know, here we go again.
Jeremy, let's get some insights here from Howard as we're running slightly short on time. What do you think?
I think it's much too early to say that. I don't expect it to play out that way for lots of reasons. Unless we get to the point which would be similar to the point we were at in 2016. If this comes down to Biden versus Sanders or Biden versus some other candidate who's viewed as unelectable in a national election, that will motivate superdelegates to flock to Biden. But that's the perception that drove those people, and I don't think we're anywhere near that yet. But yeah, it's possible that scenario could play out again. I think that would be very unfortunate.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, what are you watching for as this plays out and as these Democrats stump across the country, especially here in the battleground of Wisconsin?
Well, one thing I'm watching for that we're already seeing is the danger of too large a field. And the danger of too large a field is that in order to make space for yourself, you have to cut down the other candidates. And the evisceration that candidates can do to each other in the primaries can leave them weakened in the general election. That doesn't have to happen, but there are already signs that it might be. That is, there are already things happening in which some Democratic candidates are providing ammunition for Trump to use in the general election. If that happens on a large scale, the party will be considerably weakened.
Howard, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Howard Schwaber is a professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison. We've been talking about why the Democratic primary is overflowing with candidates. Coming up, spring allergies are in full swing. We have an allergist joining us to discuss why it seems like more people suffer from allergies. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.